he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, what a week it's been, edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm not here with Barry Kite today. He has got the day off. It's his birthday. We wish Barry a happy birthday and safe travels wherever he may be headed for the weekend. We've got a pretty good market here so far today after a better-than-expected jobs report. The Dow is up 149 points, very close to its all-time high. That puts it at 38,940. The NASDAQ is hitting. It's crashing through and hitting a new all-time high. It's up 155. That's almost 1%. 16,429 on the NASDAQ. I've never said that before in my 25 years in the business. The S&P is up 29 to 5187. I want to say that's a new high. Will it hold throughout the day? Sometimes Fridays, we can see some sell-offs towards the end of the day. S&P up 60 basis points. The small caps up 1.3%. That's the Russell 2000 to 2112. Crude oil is flat. Gold is up another 13. That's another new all-time. The 10-year is at 4.08%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And as I said, I'm not here with Barry Kite today. He is celebrating his birthday today. We wish Barry a happy birthday and a well-deserved day off, I might say. Well, we've got another active week in the market. I don't remember a lull in the market this past week. We had a big sell-off on Tuesday. We had like a 400-point drop in the Dow. We had about a 250-point drop in the NASDAQ. But the other 4 days were just fine, thank you. And AI fever, Bitcoin fever continue. I would say those are risk-on indicators. And at least for now, there is a risk-on attitude that remains in the market despite some very lofty P.E. ratios, especially on the S&P 500. We're now approaching 21.3 as the forward P.E., when the 10-year average is more around 17.5 to 18, somewhere in that range. So it's kind of hard to justify that P.E. ratio. But then again, you've got that added element of euphoria in the market right now. At some point, that euphoria will fade. People will wake up to the valuation ratios here. But until then, the trend remains in place. The trend is your friend. Okay, we got a lot going on here today in the market, even though it's a Friday. We had a decent day yesterday in the market. Yesterday's big winner was Novo Nordisk, NVO, which is bigger than the whole country of Denmark right now. The Denmark-based company reported good results from the pill form of Wegovy, and that would be a big breakthrough. Now, that's in phase two trials. The pill form proved to be even more effective than the current form that it comes in, a liquid form that is injected into the body. And that stock was up 8% yesterday. And, you know, I look at the European markets, very little growth in Europe. You're talking, you know, almost immeasurable, 0.2% growth today reported in the GDP, gross domestic product of Europe. But you've got two big stocks, really, that are propping up the entire European market right now. Number one, you've got Novo Nordisk, NVO, which has now become a very, very large component of the European index. And you've also got ASM lithography, which plays a major role in the artificial intelligence. ASM is headquartered in the Netherlands. So between those two stocks, I want to say they make up about 10% of the European index. The rest of Europe, pretty sluggish, but you've got a couple of blockbuster stocks over there really driving the bus. NVO was up almost 9% yesterday on the good news from its weight loss pill. So we'll continue to follow that. It was much more effective than the shot. The 10-year, I think, is a big story this week. You had a rally in the bond market. You've got interest rates clear down to 4.09. And I'm sure that the market is using that as a justification. Remember that the lower the interest rate goes, the more the multiples expand in the market. And right now we're at the highest multiple we've seen. I'd have to go back and look. It's at least 2 years. It's more than 2 years back into that 2022, actually 2021, early in 2021 is when the market topped. That was after the COVID year. You had all of that speculative buying in the market. We got to a really fat P.E. ratio, I think 23, around 23, back in early 21. And that's when the Fed started rattling the saber and saying, you know what, well, we're going to be on the warpath here. That brought about 2022, which was a bad year, a year where the NASDAQ saw a 30% drop. And the long-duration stocks that are typical in the ARK funds, they were down. That fund was down 67%, and the bond market got crushed in 2022, bringing down later on a few banks, including Silicon Valley Bank, which had a big holding in long-duration bonds, a bad place to be in a rising interest rate environment. Well, now we've got an interest rate environment that has not only leveled off, the rate hikes ended quite some time ago, and now the market is looking ahead to an eventual rate cut at some point in time. So we had a good rally in the bond market this past week. We saw an expansion in the multiple again. It's getting a little bit on the scary side. I'll be talking about that in my newsletter this week. I'll be updating the charts, my analysis. I just don't think there's any substitute of being immersed in the market every day. You look at 500 to 1,000 charts, you have pretty good feeling by the end of the day where the market is at. I continue to see the strength, but very narrow these days. It's kind of come back to the chip stocks, the AI stocks, while I see other areas of the market starting to level off in a topping pattern. More on that throughout the show here today. We had the State of the Union last night. I did listen to it. I feel like that's a part of my job as a money manager to know what's going on out there, both here at home and overseas. With a lot going on. And, of course, President Biden pretty much talked about jobs a lot, 15 million new jobs over the last 3 years. Now, this is all subject to fact checks. These are just numbers he threw out. Unemployment at 50-year lows, although it did go up a little bit here today. We got a better-than-expected jobs report. Biden claimed responsibility for 800,000 new manufacturing jobs. He took credit for lowering inflation from 9% to 3%. I don't know how much he had to do with that. He talked about less cookies, calling it shrinkflation in the bags these days. He touted the CHIPS and Science Act, expanding Obamacare, negotiating drugs for Medicare, and, of course, his desire to make the wealthy pay their fair share, proposing a minimum tax of just 25% on billionaires. He claims they pay an average tax rate of 8.2%, and he is proposing a rise on the corporate income or tax, the corporate tax, which Trump took down a bit. He also boasted about his actions on climate change and decreasing the deficit. Now, I don't know about that one because it has exploded to $34 trillion. $34 trillion. The jobs report did come in. 275,000 jobs, better than expected. Unemployment rate climbs to 3.9%. The market seems to like the report as we have a fairly decent day going on. When we come back, we've got news on Rivian. We've got news on NVIDIA. We've got news on Lilly and Barbie. Big news on Barbie today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's begin with Rivian, okay? We've talked a lot recently about the whole EV sector. You've seen the advance in Tesla pretty much come to a screeching halt for now. He's got troubles with his plant in Germany. He's got pricing pressure from China with their offerings of Li Auto and NIO and Boyd. You've got a pricing war going on. And the startups have it even worse right now, the Rivians, the Lucids, the Fiskers of the world. Well, Rivian had they unveiled very ambitious plans yesterday. They're still losing a lot of money. They're going to lose about $4 in $4.88 last year per share in earnings, minus $4.88, minus $4 in 2024, and minus $2.42 next year. Will they ever get to profitability? Well, the headline here says Rivian soars after unveiling new models and adding capacity at their Illinois plant. Well, it's up 6.8%. I wouldn't call that soaring. And I would also remind everyone that Rivian was $179. It's now $13, from $179 down to $13. So it still has a very, very uphill battle. But they are going to introduce new models, smaller models, cheaper models. And I would say that they're in a fight for survival right now. But the stock does have a little bit of life. I mean, it bottomed out here recently at $10.05. I remember, okay, it had a market cap at one time of about it was over $100 billion. Okay, think about that. $100 billion. It had a bigger market cap than Ford Motor, almost twice the size of Ford Motor Company. How much fluff was built into the market back in 2021? Well, there's one example, all right? You had a Rivian, which is now at $13 billion. With Ford at $50 billion, just by comparison, and some would say even that is still way too high. So anyways, that's where Rivian is at. They've got a couple new models out today, on the drawing board, and ready to roll off the line. Rivian's $13.46. NVIDIA directors disclose a share sale worth over $180 million, which is really a drop in the bucket when you consider that NVIDIA has added $1 trillion to their market cap this year. NVIDIA is now $2.4 trillion in market cap. I want to say it just passed Apple. Well, let's see, 2.4 trillion. Nope, Apple's at 2.6. But look out, Apple. You better look in your rearview mirror, because here comes NVIDIA ready to pass you and take second place as the biggest publicly traded company in the world. NVIDIA directors disclosed the share sale worth over $180 million. That does not stop the stock, however. NVIDIA fever continues. How did I do with my article a couple of weeks ago? It had a lot of page views. I put out a target price. It was based on numbers. It was based on math. Not where I think the stock can go. Not where I hope the stock can go. Not what the technical analysis, you could make an argument from a technical point of view. It was based on the earnings estimates of $27.60. And 18% growth over the next 5 years average, and a multiple that I thought was appropriate. And obviously that stock continues to move in the direction of the target price that we currently have on the stock. Now, I have seen a lot of insider selling here recently in different stocks. We saw Jamie Dimon unloading a bunch of J.P. Morgan stock. We've seen this NVIDIA. There's been a few others here recently. And, you know, I mean, there's good reason for people, insiders, to be unloading some stock here at these levels in the market. A little downdraft in Eli Lilly today. I wouldn't be too concerned. Lilly has been working on an Alzheimer's drug, and the stock is down 1.6% today. As the FDA delays their decision on Lilly's Alzheimer drug. Boy, that would be a big, another big drug if Lilly can pull it off. The Alzheimer has been elusive. Is it Biogen or is it Amgen? I think it's Biogen. They have theirs, which is a little bit on the controversial side as to whether it really works all that well. Yeah, it's Biogen. With their Leqembi. So we'll see. Lilly, a little bit of a setback in their efforts to have an Alzheimer's drug. Okay, we'll go into the break here with this. Mattel goes all out on Barbie, okay? Capitalizing on the blockbuster success of Barbie and a multi-billion dollar industry, Mattel introduced plans to maximize on Barbie fever with a theme park, restaurants, and even Barbie-themed rooms in a Bahamian resort. Well, I think that's a good idea. At Thursday's Investor Day, Mattel executives unveiled new dolls, new cars, and a new wooden playset for toddlers, and even plans for a theme park in Arizona that will incorporate more than 10 Mattel brands, including a Barbie beach house and two Hot Wheels roller coasters. Well, I could see a trip to Arizona sometime in the future. For Barbie, the company plans to launch Mini Barbie Land to leverage kids' love of all things mini and all things Barbie. While the product is mini, we believe the size of the opportunity is enormous. And we want in, said Lisa McKnight, Mattel's chief brand officer. Well, let's see. Mattel kind of taking on Disney in a small way. Mattel is only up 15 cents on the news. Well, okay. How did the market react to these big ambitious plans? I think the market's looking at the flat earnings and flat sales that Mattel has had for the last several years. But you know what? We'll be watching this one. Maybe there's some new life in the stock right now. Now, when we come back, ByteDance, TikTok, China's chip fund to compete with the U.S. Is that threat to NVIDIA? And Huawei's efforts to also enter into the high-speed market and cut into NVIDIA's market share. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, ByteDance is in the news today with the Energy and Commerce Committee yesterday. The United States has voted to approve a bill by a vote of 50 to nothing. Now, this is just a bill that's being introduced. It has to clear a lot of hurdles, obviously. But they are seeking the sale of TikTok by China's ByteDance, which is headquartered in Beijing. And, of course, there's a lot of controversy surrounding ByteDance. Propaganda, survey, you name it, across the board. And this is the latest effort. This is another effort here, which ByteDance says the ultimate, the predetermined outcome of this bill would be the total ban of TikTok in the United States. Okay, all right. China setting up a $27 billion chip fund to beat U.S. curbs. Well, okay, so that's another one. You know, we have told NVIDIA and some others that they cannot sell their products into China to give them that technology. We're also investing a lot, which President Biden touted at his State of the Union address last night about the money that we're investing in our own chip industry here, trying to bring more manufacturing here so we're not dependent upon Taiwan and other countries for the chip manufacturing. And China is striking back by setting up a $27 billion chip fund of their own to beat the U.S. curb. So obviously there's a lot. Now, they have the Chinese chip designers include Tencent and a few others. They are looking to compete with their own chips. And, of course, Huawei is a big player in all of this. Huawei was the company that was going head-to-head with Apple, still going head-to-head with Apple. We banned their phones. You used to be able to pick up a Huawei phone at a much cheaper price than an Apple phone at your local Best Buy store. Not anymore. Huawei is outselling Apple phones over in China. Apple's iPhone sales in China fell 24% year over year amid rising competition from Huawei. So there is a Cold War taking place. There's no question about it between us and China. And one of those battlefronts is in the technology arena with TikTok and Huawei right in the middle of it. Novo Nordisk expects Wegovy approval in China this year. Okay, so more China news. That would be big, obviously. Wegovy is in Europe, and they expect... now, will China come up with one of their own? I don't know. But they expect their popular weight loss drug, Wegovy, to be approved in China this year, but plans to launch the product in the massive Asian market with capped volumes. And that's because they're having a hard time keeping up. They're having a hard time producing it fast enough to meet the demand. Let's look at NVO today. It had a huge day yesterday. It's pulling back a little bit today. It's down 2.1%. Okay, buying stocks with big dividend yields. There was one here recently, Petrobras in Brazil, which is the big Brazilian oil company. I've kind of been watching it. Its dividend yield is 19.6% at its current price. However, the stock is down 11% today, as Petrobras says that it's going to be hard, a warning that the company's big dividends may have ended. You got a lot of risk. I mean, if you see a dividend yield over 4%, I'm going to say that's kind of the line there. You get up over 4%, and you're either going to start to enter into the territory of stocks that aren't growing anymore. You start to enter into AT&T, Verizon, others that have those 6%, 7% dividend yields. With Philip Morris would be another one. But they don't have any growth anymore. So it's all they're really offering to you is the dividend yield, and the stocks have been going down. So you say, well, I still get my dividend, but it's all about total return. Now, you get up into the 7, 8, 9% area, that is really kind of not a sustainable area there. And then you get up to Petrobras, which is 19.6%, and you just got to figure that at some point a company can't maintain that. Shaving company Harry's files confidentially for an IPO. Well, I remember when Gillette was a publicly traded company. And I remember the commercials, right? I liked the company so much, I bought the whole, I liked the product so much, I bought the entire company. And I want to say Gillette ended up with Procter and Gamble. Well, there's a little company called Harry's out there, which has done a lot of advertising on social media. They have filed to go public, a little public offering. Now, speaking of yields, we're watching. We haven't seen any bonds come to the market recently. You know, we have a lot of folks that don't want the volatility of the stock market. I determined after looking at all the alternative investments out there that the one I liked the best and was in the best interest of my clients who don't want market volatility was buying individual bonds and holding them to maturity and getting somewhere in the 5 to 6% range. No commission fees. A lot of the alternative investments, huge commissions. The private REITs, the non-traded REITs, I thought were a big abuse of putting people into illiquid products that paid the brokers big commissions. Reminded me of the limited partnership days at Prudential. Well, anyways, in the bond market right now, 5 to 6%. You know, that's what we look for. I saw one today. We do own a United Rentals bond that we bought quite a while ago. We have some pretty good capital gains in it. I saw them doing an offering today, 10 years, 6 1/8. So at 6, you double your money every 12 years. So in 10 years, if people are still renting chainsaws and skip loaders and this kind of thing 10 years from now, in 2034, you get your money back, and along the way you've gotten 6 1/8. Obviously, a little bit more risk than a CD or something, or a 10-year treasury. Costco reported last night. Well, you know what? I've been watching the stock. The valuation, it's such a popular stock. There is a huge premium built into that valuation because of the popularity of the stock. The forward P.E. ratio right now is 49. The P.E. ratio is 51. Okay, so what would be a good comparable for Costco? You know, I think maybe a Sam's Club, right, which is owned by Walmart, BJ's Warehouse, something like that. I mean, the P.E. ratios on those stocks are more in the 20 area. So here you've got this big fat premium multiple because you've got a very popular stock. Costco came in, they beat their earnings estimates by 7 cents, but they missed their revenue by 690 million. Costco did $58 billion in sales during the last quarter, which is up. Let's just take a look at what kind of growth Costco has these days. Their sales were up 6%. So I'm just saying, look, a 50 multiple on a 6% grower, do the math. Makes no sense. But it's a popular company. It's a popular stock. It's a place people like to go. The earnings were up 12%. Now, that's not bad, okay? Costco has kept the double-digit earnings growth going, but it's still in the low teens. And at some point, it's going to go into the single-digit growth. The stock, Costco, is down 6.4% today on 6x normal volume with just a little bit of a miss in their sales. Costco at $736 per share, $326 billion in market capitalization. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's take a little bit of a look underneath the hood of the market. At opposite end of the spectrum today, on top in the S&P 500 today, once again, wow, this stock has gone on one heck of a run. It's up another 4.6% right now. The name of the stock, Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, one of our top holdings here. You go back and look at our article that we wrote on AMD on Seeking Alpha and how that stock has done since we wrote the article. We have huge gains in AMD, and it is the biggest winner in the S&P 500 again today. Now, Broadcom reported earnings today, or yesterday after the close. Broadcom is slipping a little bit, even as the company reaffirmed their 2024 sales outlook. We also own Broadcom, although we did lighten up a little bit on it. Sometimes when positions become oversized in our portfolio, that's part of money management. You know, that's a pet peeve I have in the industry that I'm a part of, the financial services industry. There's so many money managers out there, and so many of them, in my opinion, just from my perspective, because I've talked to a lot of people over the last 25 years that have had accounts at other firms. They're paying for money management, but they're not getting much in the way of money management. Now, if you own a mutual fund, yes, they're actively managing it, and you're paying a fee inside that mutual fund. And ETF, for the most part, they're pretty static. There's a few managed ETFs out there where they make changes, but most of them follow some kind of an index or a defined sector, you know, members of a sector. And a lot of money managers will put you into all ETFs. They don't deal with individual stocks. So you're paying the money manager a fee, and then underneath the ETFs are charging a fee, so you're paying two different fees. You have to add those two fees up together to see the total fee you're paying. And then a lot of times I see where the money managers that are managing an ETF portfolio really don't make that many changes. It doesn't seem like they're really managing the account, other than putting you into an asset allocation and adjusting it, tweaking it a little bit every 3 months based on your age, and not what's going on in the world, not what's going on at the Fed, not what's going on in the economy. And then you've got others, and I see this at a lot of the wirehouse firms where they've bought a portfolio of stocks for you, maybe 25, 30 stocks, and a lot of the usual names, Johnson & Johnson and Philip Morris and AT&T, et cetera, Citigroup, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan. These are big favorites of the wirehouse firms, and very few changes are ever made in those portfolios. So, you know what? All I can say is I look at things differently. I babysit my portfolios every single day. I try to make as few changes as possible. But I've had to make a few this year. Stories have changed, okay? The story at Tesla got bad really quickly. The Apple story changed. It's not the same growth engine that it was in the past. And along the way, there has to, I liken it to the garden. You know, I start my seeds indoors, in little peat pots, and I baby those things, and pretty soon they poke above the ground. That's always exciting for me. And then I put them out I have some outdoor grow boxes here in front of my office where I keep an eye on them. And they start to get acclimated to the climate, et cetera. And then I take the plants and put them into the garden when it's time, when the freezes are past and it's warming up. I'm starting to see buds on the citrus trees, et cetera. And then I take it from there. And sometimes, you know, they fail. Sometimes the plants don't make it, and I have to replace them. Whatever, something gets them. And I look at a portfolio the same exact way. It takes careful pruning. It takes watching very carefully. But starting with very good stock, very good seeds, I try to narrow it down to what I consider to be the best stocks in the market. Now, not ones that were doing well and flourishing 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I mean, it changes. New technologies come along, and stocks that are flourishing and in the center of things in today's world are quite a bit different from the ones that we had several years ago. So anyways, I'll be working on the newsletter today. After I'm done looking at all of our holdings here, you pay for money management with me, but you get with our team, and you get money management. You get what you pay for. We actually manage the portfolios here, so that is a pet peeve of mine with others in the industry out there. They like to get your money, they like to put you in a bunch of stocks, and then they're kind of done with you from my perspective. All right, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, we did make quite a few changes, a little bit, here and there. We did some trimming, some pruning. Sometimes plants get overgrown. They've produced well. We've got to trim them back a little bit, make way for some new. We made some big new buys this past week, which you'll see in tomorrow's newsletter, which I get out every Saturday afternoon. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. That's our website, GundersonCapital.com. You can also call us and set up an appointment to talk about active money management. We don't just call it money management. We actually perform the money management. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST. And I've always said, you know, we don't put you into the market the next day into our portfolio with all 20 stocks. No, we wait for entry points and we wait for opportunities to buy those stocks that we currently own. We wait for a nice chance to get into them for our new clients. We gradually ease you in, and we gradually ease you out of the stocks we don't like that you bring over from other firms. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody, and a great weekend.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.